your Bibles, your copy of God's Word, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, it's just three verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Pray with me again. Father, this is your word, not my word. It's not King David's word, even though he penned it. This is the word of Yahweh, the true only God. And Father, we pray as we look at this passage that your Holy Spirit would move in us an understanding of it and an obedience to it and a pursuit of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Charlie had asked the children, what do they do before they go to on vacation? And sometimes that wears you out before the vacation even starts, just trying to get all the things together. And then it wears you out at the end because you got to pack all the stuff you bought to take home. And then he asked them, what do you do to prepare for worship? And I'd like all of you to wrestle with that question. What do you do to prepare for his worship? This is a psalm of ascent. This was sung by God's people as they approached the temple in Jerusalem. There are about 15 of them in this section, and they would sing these hymns together as a family as they came to worship the Lord to prepare them for worship. And so I ask you again, what do you do to prepare for worship? I've been in youth ministry for many years, and one of the things I would do throughout periods of time where I felt like the Lord's day was really just getting the leftovers of the students that I led, I would challenge them to go to bed early on Saturday, and I would hold them accountable at Sunday school. We had Sunday school before worship, and I'd go one by one, hey, what time did you go to bed? Just so they knew that I was going to ask them. Because obviously if they go to bed at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, it's going to impact God's worship. And we ought to prepare for it. We ought to spend the whole week preparing for it. One of the best ways you can prepare for the worship is to be in God's Word all week. You do not know the people, when I worship the Lord, the people in my history that I could tell were tuned in to worshiping the Lord. They would come up to me typically after the worship service and say, David, all week long I've been reading the Word, I've been studying this thing, and you preached on a passage that I came across in some form of fashion, and it was just, I just felt truly blessed for it. That's one of the many blessings of being a pastor, is you get to be in God's Word all week working on the sermon. And if you're doing that faithfully, by the time you get to worship, you're plugged into the music. In fact, I have the privilege of writing out the order of worship. And we picked a song that was special to Miss Peggy, the one about glory all to God. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. But it set the tone for his worship. It's a great song. It impacted the passage I picked to call us to worship. And then we sang a psalm too that was very special to our dear Miss Peggy in the choir. We wanted to praise the Lord, but also bear testimony of things that just really have been encouraging to her in this worship service. But that is there for all of us, right? We come to be encouraged in our walk with Christ, to be challenged. Do you pray before you enter the worship of the Lord? Do you sing? I had a professor, some of y'all know Dr. Kelly at RTS Charlotte. And he said sometimes he gets down in the South where everybody talks about the college football game the day before and everybody's hee-hawing about the whatever football game it was and they're all in the sanctuary about to worship the Lord. And Dr. Kelly said, sometimes I just want to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now you say, well, that's grumpy. But his point was that we'd come in just flippantly sometimes to his worship, unprepared for his worship, and then we wonder why we didn't get anything out of it. And God had purposed in David to write these songs of ascent so that as they approached his worship, they would be ready to go when they got to the temple. Now think about what they're singing here. What are they singing about here in this passage? What is important to God that they prepare for? And listen to it. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He wants them. It's amazing how unselfish God is. He says, I want you, as you come, to give me your full attention, to also be looking horizontally at your relationships with others. I want you, as you come, and give me all the praise, and I deserve it all. That's what God's saying. I deserve all your praise, all your glory. You wouldn't live without me. You wouldn't be breathing now without me. You wouldn't be saved without me. It's all me. Yet in His generosity and in His love for us, He wants us also to come purposefully with one another. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Communion vertically, communion horizontally. As I was singing, I encourage you this, and the choir gets this benefit, but when I was singing Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow, I'm trying to be on tune, I'm trying not to botch it up, and then I just look at the faces of my new brothers and sisters in Christ. And it does help me if you're singing. But I love you if you don't. But I see the faces of brothers and sisters in Christ. Some I've not even met. Some are just here for the special occasions today. And David is moved by the Holy Spirit to say, behold how good it is. We'll look at five quick points here. The first thing he's emphasizing is unity is to be sought after. Unity is to be sought after. Again, y'all remember when I preached on behold the Father's love for us? Here's that same word in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, behold how good and how pleasant it is. He's saying, don't ignore this. Don't think this is not for you. Sit up, take heed. Charles Spurgeon says, behold, talking about unity, it is a wonder seldom seen. Isn't that the truth in the context of the church? He says, it's a wonder seldom seen. I'm not talking about world unity. I'm talking about true unity defined by the Creator, the one who's given it to us. Therefore, behold it. It may be seen, for it is the characteristics of real saints. This is Charles Spurgeon still. Therefore, fail not to insert it. To inspect it. It is well worth admiration. Pause and gaze upon it. It will charm you into imitation. That's well worth. Therefore, note it well. God looks on it with approval. Therefore, consider it with attention. That's what David's saying. He's saying, as you're going to the worship of the Lord, behold how beautiful it is when we're one in Christ Jesus. Not one in Clemson Tigers. I was at the Clemson National Championship in California. Some people took me out to it, and I was sure God was sending me out there pastorally to walk them back for the loss that we're about to suffer. And my look at the game was like, I didn't expect any of this to take place. And I was thankful for it that the Tigers won. But there was a drunk Clemson fan right beside me. I never met him in my life. And he's drunk as drunk can be. I don't know why you want to be drunk at the national championship game and not just soak it in. He's just, ugh. And I'm hugging him every time they score, high-fiving him. I think we both promised to name our firstborn. No, I'm just kidding. After each other if we won. No, we didn't do that. That was not unity of the Scripture. Okay, the fact that we both like country music is not unity. This unity comes in Christ, and it's something different. It's something unique, and it is the marker for God's people. It is what we bear. And I want you to ask yourself, is that how your fruits play out in the context of the church? Miss Peggy, you've been a part of this church 50 plus years. You've seen seasons of unity, and you've seen seasons of disunity. And you know, I don't know the history of this church. I don't. I need to learn it. But I don't know the history, but I'm sure it's true. Because I've been a part of other churches with believers, and I've seen the disunity at times, and I've seen the unity. And sadly, and I'm not saying this is the case for New Harmony, I've been very impressed in the honeymoon phase of my pastorate ministry here, they call it. Everybody's on good behavior. I have appreciated that I've seen people bite their lip and bite their, you know, I'm not going to say anything. And so we need to get rid of that too. But it's the marker of God's people. It is to be sought after. It is to be pursued as we're approaching His worship. If we sang this hymn, we used to sing this song in seminary. Psalm 133. I don't remember the tune it was sung to, but out of the Psalter, we would sing. And it's awesome when a bunch of men sing together because we sing on our level and it's not too high. Some pastor said they ought to call the hymn book a her book on how the tones are written. But in seminary, we're belting it out and we're singing this song before. And it's a beautiful thing. And I didn't know all the guys, but hopefully all the ones that are believers in Christ should feel this connection, this bond in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to talk about Him. That is what bonds us together. It's not, I go to New Harmony Presbyterian Church, even though that might be, if that's all it is for you, you're missing the boat on what unities look like. Unity is belonging to Christ, being one with Christ Jesus. And it's to be sought after. The second point is unity is good and pleasant. There are some things in this world that are good. Exercise is good. It's not pleasant for me. You're saying, I don't believe you do it. It's not pleasant, but it's good. Kids, eating vegetables, that's good for you. That'll help you physically. Not pleasant. Not pleasant. My mom would give me, I could handle fried okra, but whatever she did in the pot with okra, I did not like it. I was like, this is not much different than things I don't like to eat. It's not good. I mean, it is good for me, but it's not pleasant to eat. And there are things that are pleasant that aren't good. In fact, that's what a lot of you young people and even adults can pursue, is things that are pleasant but aren't good. But here you have both of them. You have the word of the Lord saying unity is good and pleasant. It's both of them. And He gives us two analogies in this. He gives us the cleansing, the oil, the precious oil upon the head of Aaron. And there's so many applications that you can dive into, and I'm not going to do it justice in this time this morning, but it says that it's good and it's pleasant. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. And this still under unity is good and pleasant. And think about that. Think about that passage where, you know, you even think of Psalm 23, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And understand, I don't think it's easy to translate to our culture. This sounds a little weird to us probably. Oh, it's good and it's like precious oil being poured all over you. I don't like that. But I want you to imagine, I go to camp. We used to. I didn't go to camp this summer, but I go to camp, and one of my reputations is if they have a swimming pool with chlorine, I don't take a shower all week. And there's a reason behind that. It's not laziness, because I take a shower when I get up and a shower when I go to bed in my house. But I saw the yuck in the showers that the kids went into. And out of protection for my feet, I didn't want fungus on my feet. I love my feet. That's the only thing good I got left. And I love my feet. I want to take care of my feet. And that's why I wear shoes a lot. I'm about to go on a rabbit trail. I need to stop. Okay. And so I have justified not taking a shower all week if I can jump in a pool every day and get that chlorine all over on whatever. And I don't smell bad, even though I've never had somebody say, you smell horrible. But I don't feel great at the end of the week not taking a shower all week. Okay, I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but y'all look at me like... When I come home, though, and I get in that shower, and I let that hot water pour over me, I take 3 or 4 showers in that time period, and it is good. It is refreshing. It is nothing better than coming out smelling like the soap and the shampoo. And I don't want to get in my bed unless I have that clean feeling. I'm saying it's like the precious oil. That's what it was when they pour oil on you. And you have the recipe in the Old Testament of what they would put in that oil that would be poured upon Aaron. And the priest's job was a hard job. They dealt with the sacrifice and all the guts of the sacrifice and all the smells and all that stuff. And they would pour that and it would be a blessing of it. Refreshing. It's poured down. And so Christian fellowship is like oil poured on the head, running down on a beard. It's precious, it's refreshing, it's a gift from God. Isn't it? Isn't it a precious gift from God when we experience unity the way He wants us to? I mean, I hope you've tasted it. Some of you might say, oh, I'm not.